World Council Headquarters. 21 men and women sat around the council table, representing every power group on Earth and beyond. They made a colorful lot, some wearing Western suits and dresses, others in Eastern saris and robes, kimonos, kaftans, even one woman in a flowered sarong. Hardly a gray hair among them. They were all youthful and vigorous, no matter what their ages, thanks to rejuvenation therapies. Three of the members were not physically present, but joined the meeting as holographic images. Douglas Stavanger of the Lunar Nation of Selene was the more prominent of them. He had served 2 10-year terms as chairman of the council. Seated beside him, also in holographic representation, was George Ambrose, the oversized, red-thatched leader of the Rockrats, that loose coalition of miners and explorers scattered through the asteroid belt. On Stavanger's other side sat the representative from the habitat in orbit around the planet Saturn. Like Stavanger, Ambrose and the delegate from Saturn were on the moon. It took nearly 3 seconds for electronic signals to go from Earth to moon and back again. That was awkward but bearable. It took upwards of a full hour for signals to reach the belt and return, and more than twice as long to span the distance to Saturn. That made real-time conversations impossible, so Ambrose and the woman from Saturn traveled to the moon for council meetings. Anita Halleck sat at the head of the long polished table and watched her fellow World Council members chatting and gesticulating among themselves. Like monkeys, she thought. Jabbering monkeys. The digital clock on the screen built into the tabletop before her showed exactly 3 p.m. Halleck tapped her manicured fingernail on the gleaming surface only once. Their talking stopped immediately. All heads turned to her. "I'm glad that you all could attend this meeting," she began, her voice a warm contralto. "We have before us only one agenda item, the report from the head of our expedition to Sirius C."
"New Earth," added the representative from sub-Saharan Africa in a deep-chested rumble.
"Yes," said Halleck without smiling, "the so-called New Earth." Pressing a pad on the keyboard beneath her tabletop screen, Halleck looked toward the double doors at the head of the room as she said, "Please welcome the leader of our Sirius expedition, Mr. Jordan Kell." Everyone around the table turned as the double doors swung silently open and Jordan stepped through. He was wearing a collarless navy blue blazer and light gray slacks, and holding the hand of his slim, lovely, red-haired young wife, who wore a simple knee-length frock of golden yellow. The entire council rose to its feet as Jordan and Aditi walked the length of the table and stopped at the two empty chairs on Halleck's right. No applause, not a word from any council member, but their hushed respect for Jordan Kell and their curiosity about his wife was palpable. Everyone sat down except Kell, Aditi, and Halleck.
"Mr. Kell," said Halleck, "we have all read your report, of course, but the entire World Council is eager to hear what you have to say."
Jordan made a stiff little bow. Halleck sat down, but Jordan clutched Aditi's hand and kept her standing beside him. He scanned the long table. "They know the facts," he told himself. "Now to make them understand the realities. To begin with, I would like to introduce you to my wife, Aditi. She is a native of New Earth." That caused a stir up and down the table. Aditi smiled politely, and Jordan released her hand. She took her seat. Jordan hesitated a moment, then went on. "Aditi is as human as you and I. She and the other people of New Earth were created from DNA samples taken from people of Earth."
"Then it's true," snapped a middle-aged Asian from halfway down the table. "We have been visited by aliens."
Almost apologetically, Jordan replied,
"Oh, yes. The basis for all those UFO stories over the years is indeed true, although some of the stories have been exaggerated rather wildly. But the fact is that aliens have been visiting Earth for centuries and have taken tissue samples from humans, plants, and animals. That's how they created the biosphere of New Earth."
"These aliens were machines, not people?"
With a nod, Jordan said, "The people of New Earth call them their predecessors. Machine intelligences that are millions of years old.
and they constructed the planet we call New Earth.
Yes. They have been studying Earth for ages, and decided to construct a world that was almost exactly like our own. Their reasoning was that once we attained spaceflight technology, we'd be curious enough to go to Sirius to see what the planet was all about.
Fantastic. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Halleck cut through their astonished comments. The question is, why did they go to such trouble? Why not merely come to Earth and show themselves to us? With a glance at Aditi, Jordan answered, As I said, they have studied us for centuries. They realized that we are rather paranoid and xenophobic, prone to violence.
That was all in the past, said a woman in the saffron robes of a Buddhist monk. We have learned to overcome such instincts,
have we? Within our own lifetimes, we've seen nuclear conflicts and bio-wars nearly depopulate whole continents, to say nothing of the fighting in the asteroid belt.
But that was more than 200 years ago, the woman argued. We have found the way to peace.
And the World Council enforces it, said Halleck.
Yet those instincts for violence, especially against strangers, are still inside us, said one of the Europeans. 2 centuries of relative peace has not changed us into angels.
That's why the inhabitants of New Earth were frightened of us, said Jordan.
They were frightened of us? That's hard to believe.
Believe it, Jordan said.
They wanted to contact us. They felt they had to contact us. But they were very worried that our reaction to contact would be violent.
Halleck objected.
With their superior technology, they feared we'd be violent? Why, they could wipe this planet clean of all life if they chose to, couldn't they?
Perhaps, Jordan conceded.
But their mission, their very reason for existence, is to save intelligent life wherever they find it, not to destroy it.
That's what they told you.
But suppose it isn't true, asked the woman in the sarong.
What if they've come here to conquer us, to overwhelm us?
Jordan smiled sadly. If they have, they're going about it in a strange way. They've given us new technology, the energy screens, biomedical advances beyond anything we have been able to do for ourselves, Halleck interrupted.
But they haven't told you how they can travel faster than light, have they?